Our Old Testament reading for this morning is going to come from the book of Jeremiah. We'll be reading from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verse 4 and read through verse 7. And it's found on page 676 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. These are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles and to the priest of the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be reading from the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 11 through 19. And it's found on page 919 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then said Jesus, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. It's the word of the Lord. I'm sure there have been times when we have all felt a little bit invisible. Been times when we've all felt perhaps a little bit unappreciated. We all know how that feels. In Ann Taylor's novel, The Ladder of Years, she introduces us to one of her characters, Delilah Grinstead. Delilah is a devoted mother and wife who does everything she can to make sure that her family is well taken care of. She buys her family's favorite foods. She prepares their favorite meals. She launders their clothes, makes sure that the house is scrubbed and cleaned and orderly. But it all seems to go unappreciated and unnoticed. Her children ignore her. They never show her any affection, never even thank her for all that she does for them. Though they are quick to let her know if she should neglect to wash some of their clothes or neglect to purchase one of their favorite food items. And her husband is so taken up with his medical practice that he too fails to notice and appreciate all the things that she does to keep the household running smoothly. But one day, after suffering years of neglect, she decides to just walk away from it all. She gets up one morning to take a walk, and she just keeps going and going and never comes back. When her family realizes that she is missing, they call the police, of course, but when the police ask for a description of Delilah, her family is unable to describe her to the police. They can't remember the color of her eyes. They can't remember how tall she is or how much she weighs. They can't recall what she had on when they last saw her. They can't remember anything about her because they never really saw her. They just kind of always took her for granted without ever saying thank you or expressing gratitude for all the things that she had done for them. Sometimes gratitude and thanksgiving are just ways of acknowledging that we see and appreciate someone. I wonder if we sometimes treat God the way Delilah's family treated her. I wonder if we take God for granted. We are often unappreciative of the things that God has done for us, the many ways that God has blessed us, if we fail even to see God in the midst of our everyday lives. In our text this morning, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. And it's always important to notice where Jesus is at. We are told that he is on the border of Samaria and Galilee. And it's there on the border. Jesus is always crossing borders in the Bible. He's always going places where he shouldn't be going, always engaging with people that perhaps he shouldn't be engaging with, always touching and being touched by people that no one else wants to touch. And here Jesus is on the border of Samaria and Galilee. It's the border not only between Samaria and Galilee, but it's the border of clean and unclean. And there at the border, Jesus encounters not just one leper, but not just two lepers, but actually 10 lepers. 10 people with the dreaded disease of leprosy. In the ancient world, of course, to have leprosy was to be shunned. It was to be isolated. It was to be considered unclean. According to the book of Leviticus, if you had leprosy, you had to wear torn clothing. You had to keep your hair unkempt. You had to cry out, unclean, unclean, whenever anyone approached, so they would be able to avoid you. Imagine having to live like that. Imagine having to be isolated and separated from everyone else, considered to be unclean, defined by your illness. But that's who Jesus encounters in our text this morning. And we are told that when these lepers see Jesus, they cry out not for healing, but they cry out for pity. Have mercy on us, they say. Maybe all they were expecting were a few alms and a little bit of food, something that will make their lives a little less onerous. But the text says that Jesus has compassion for them. That's the thing about Jesus. That's the thing that often separated Jesus from the other religious leaders of the time, is that Jesus always shows compassion for them. for people, especially the kind of people that everyone else considered to be unclean. And so, in accordance with the law, Jesus sends these 10 lepers to the priest to be certified so that they might be clean. But as they are on their way, they discover that they have been cleansed. They discover that they are healed. They discover that the leprosy has left them. And we can just imagine the joy that they must have been experiencing. No more isolation, no more torn clothing, no more unkempt hair, no more crying out unclean. They could now go about living nice, normal lives, be reintegrated back into society. They must have been elated. But we are told that one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, when he saw that he was cleansed, he turned around. And praising God, he went back and he fell at the Lord's feet and began to thank him. And we are told that he was a Samaritan. Many of you know that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. They were enemies. They didn't like each other. For Jews, Samaritans were a threat to everything they held dear. So this Samaritan would have been doubly unclean. Not only did he have leprosy, but he was also a despised outsider. But when he saw that he was healed, he turned around and praised God loudly and fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him. I don't think that the other 9 did anything wrong. After all, they were just following the Lord's instructions to go show themselves to the priest. But it's still interesting that only one came back. Only one came back to Jesus. Only one came back to acknowledge Jesus. Only one came back to say thank you. Only one came back to express his gratitude. And the one who came back was a Samaritan. One of the dreaded enemies of God's people. This story, of course, is about many things. It's about the healing and cleansing power of God. Healing and cleansing power that God has for everyone. Doesn't make any difference who you are. Whether you consider yourself an outsider or an insider, the fact is that we have all been stained. We've all been rendered unclean by the power of sin. But through the great compassion and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has made us clean. It's part of the good news that all of us here have been made clean by the blood of the Lamb. And so this story is about the cleansing, healing power of God and God's ability and power to render us clean. And this story is also about gratitude. It's about thanksgiving. It's about giving God thanks for all the ways that God sustains our lives. The theologian Karl Barth once said that the basic human response to God is not fear. It's not trembling, but the basic human response to God is gratitude. Just telling God, thank you. Meister Eckhart once said that if the only prayer that we ever prayed was saying thank you, that would be enough. But it's interesting that the outsider, the foreigner, the one who is least entitled for any consideration at all from the Jewish Messiah, is the one who comes back to say, thank you. Sometimes it's those who feel the most entitled to something who exhibit the least amount of gratitude. But we are reminded that it's the foreigner, the Samaritan, who exhibits gratitude in this story. So this story is about gratitude. But I think first and foremost, what this story is about is seeing. It is about what you are able to see. Someone once said that faith is not just about believing, but it's also about seeing. Because what we see makes all the difference. Makes all the difference in how we respond. Makes all the difference in how we react. What are we able to see? Do you see a loving and gracious God operating in the midst of your life? A loving and gracious God operating in the midst of the world? What do we see? Some people see the future, and for them it causes fear. Some people, when they think about God, they don't see a loving, gracious God, but they see a stern and judgmental God. And instead of reacting with joy and thanksgiving, they react in fear. Some people, when they see a fellow human being that may be different from them, they don't see a fellow human being that is loved by God, that is a gift from God, a fellow human being that God loves, but what they see instead is a threat, and they don't respond with joy and thanksgiving, but they respond with anger and fear. Some people, in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of sickness, see a loving God operating in the midst of their lives. And even in the midst of their sickness, even in the midst of their tribulation, their lives are filled with joy and thanksgiving, because that's what they see, a loving God in the midst of their lives. What do you see? I think what separated the Samaritan from the other nine was that this Samaritan, this outsider, was able to see in the loving and healing act of Jesus. He was able to see the loving and healing graciousness of God. He was able to recognize that in Jesus was God. A God who loves everyone. A God who loves the whole world. And when he saw that, he turned around, turned his life around, and he went back praising God and worshiping God because of what he was able to see. October is usually the stewardship month. It's the time of year when churches gear up for their stewardship campaigns, when churches begin their pledge campaigns and pretty much prepare the congregation to prepare for their giving. We don't really do stewardship campaigns or sermons here at Olney Presbyterian Church. I've never been very comfortable giving stewardship sermons, in part because we all know how sometimes they can be abused. I've always operated on the principle that everyone knows that freely we have received, so freely give. But we're reminded this morning that stewardship is not so much about giving. Stewardship is about seeing. It's what we're able to see. Can you see the way that your life is held up by a loving and gracious God? Can you see how much God has done for you? Can you see the various ways that your life has been blessed? Can you see the things that we often have taken for granted? None of us have to be here this morning. We are only here because of the grace of a loving God. It is God who has given us breath. It is God who has given us life. It is God who has sustained us. It is God who has given us everything that we need. None of us could do it on our own. And so stewardship is about seeing. If you can see that, then the only response to the graciousness of God, the only response to the givingness of God, the only response to the love and mercy of God is to respond in joy and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what God has done for us. I wish we knew a little bit more about this Samaritan who came back. This Samaritan who fell on his face before Jesus. I get the impression that his life was turned upside down. I don't think he ever went back and began to live a normal life. I don't think he ever went back to his family. I don't think he ever went back to his job in the same way. I don't think he went back to live his life the way he once lived it. I think in a spirit of joy and thanksgiving that he continued to give of himself, that he continued to respond to God's graciousness by giving of himself, by giving of his own life, his time, his talent, his resources to help share the good news of God's graciousness and love for everyone. I like what Jesus tells him here at the last. Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." When I first read that, I want to say, okay, but you had already healed him. What do you mean your faith has made you well? But the Greek word there could actually mean your faith has made you whole or your faith has saved you. What you have seen in me has saved you. It has called you forth from a world of fear, a world of hatred, a world of indifference, a world of apathy. It has situated you in a world where your major response is one of joy and thanksgiving for what God has done for you. Friends, that's all of us. That's what God has done for all of us. God has saved all of us. He has rescued all of us. He sustains all of us. Can you see it? Can you see God? Can you see God walking with you? Can you see God holding you up? Can you see God with you in the palm of God's hand? Can you see God loving you? Can you see God blowing God's breath of life in you? Can you see it? Can you see God operating in the midst of your life? Can you see God operating in the midst of our world? Can you see it? What we see makes all the difference. What we see determines how we will live our lives. What we see determines how we will go outside of these doors. Will we go out in fear and trembling? Or will we go out like this Samaritan saying, "Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, God! Thank you for the good things that you have done for me." Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us forth to bear witness to who you are, the God who overcomes our barriers, the God who overcomes our fears, the God who has overcome our sin to cleanse us and to claim us for yourself. We ask, Lord, that you clear our vision. Help us to see that in the midst of this world, that you are there, that you are reconciling this whole world to yourself and reconciling us all to one another. That the only response from us is one of joy and thanksgiving, gratitude for what you have done. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.